Happy Laetare Sunday, everyone. Laetare, the word, means to rejoice, and we have great reason to rejoice today. One of God's beloved sons, Thomas Cleveland, is going to receive his first Holy Communion today, and that's enough cause for rejoicing. You know, we're halfway through Lent, and so that's why the church asks us to rejoice, to remember what we're headed towards. And so regardless of how your Lent has been going, Laetare Sunday is a great day, a great time to restart if you need, to redouble your efforts, to recommit to whatever Jesus is asking of you this Lent. Every time I put on the rose or the pink vestments, feel a little vulnerable, feel a little exposed. And so today what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to step into an area of vulnerability with me, allowing yourself to be seen by Jesus, seen by God. And so what I want to do today is I want to take a quick moment to reflect on how God looks at us. And so if you feel comfortable, I'd like you to just close your eyes for a few moments. And I want you to bring forward in your mind the worst sin you've ever committed. Now, I don't want you to focus on the sin, right? I don't want you to experience the fear or the anxiety around that. What I want you to reflect on is how God looked at you in that moment. Where was Jesus? Was he there? Did he look at you with disappointment? Does he have a look of disgust on his face, or anger, or sadness? Maybe he's discouraged, or maybe he's shocked or appalled at what you've done. If God looked at you in any of those ways, everyone, or even anything relatively close, that is not God who's looking at you. You can open your eyes if you haven't already. The only way that God looks at us is like that, from the cross. Jesus, God, looks at us in our worst moments with an unconditional, self-sacrificial love and a mercy that pours out of him that not only desires to forgive us of our sins, but to heal us and to give us something we never had before, which is his own eternal life. Do you believe that that's the God we believe in? Do you believe he's that good? Jesus today in the gospel is reminding us just how much God does love us. And he does it in a really interesting way, right? He recalls this old story from the book of Numbers about these serpents that God sent among his people. If you remember, the people had got released from Pharaoh's slavery in Egypt. They're with Moses in the desert. God gives them manna so that they can eat. And they start to get discouraged and impatient. And they say, Moses, we hate this stupid food. Why did you bring us out to the desert just to die out here? And they put God and Moses to the test. And so these seraph serpents come and they bite them and people are dying. And so he tells Moses, the people come to Moses and say, we've sinned. So Moses prays to God and says, please take these serpents away. God says, make a bronze statue. of this serpent and hang it on a pole and make the people look at it so that they can be healed and be saved. And that's what happens. It sounds an awful lot like what happened in the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? There's a serpent, there's a tree, there's food. And so why does Moses make the people look at the source of their death? Why does Jesus, why does the church make us look at the crucifix? Well, if you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, remember when they committed the first sin? God comes looking for them, and what do? They hide. How terribly sad. All he wants to do is look at them with love and with mercy, with forgiveness, with healing, and they cannot receive it. And so over generations, right, he has to start to repair that relationship, to build their trust. And that's why with Moses in the desert, he makes them look upon the serpent. He makes them look upon what happens when they sin. But they're still not able to believe. And so in the fullness of time, God sends his son into the world so that we can see his human face. And we can see just how much he loves us. One of the most powerful lines in Scripture, I think, so many of us know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he sent his son into the world so we might have eternal life. And that's great. It applies to all of us. But the verse after it, John 3:17, it's one of my favorite lines in Scripture. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now watch this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn you, but that you might be saved through him. That very, very worst day of your life, that very worst sin, that very worst thing that happened to you, Jesus did not come to condemn you there, to reject you there. He came to love you there. Your worst day is his best day because he gets to save you, which is what he came to do. It makes me think of the story of the woman who's caught in adultery. Do you remember that story from John 8? All of the Jewish leaders want to stone her to death, and they say, Jesus, what's your opinion? And after he foils their plan, showing them that nobody's innocent, he looks at the woman and says, woman, has nobody condemned you? Where have they all gone? And she says, no, sir, nobody's condemned me. And he said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Do we believe that that is how good God is? He is that good, and he loves us that much. And so the good news is for us today, everyone, if we struggle to believe that God is that good, he gives us himself. He gives us an image. He gives us the crucifix so that we can look upon a God, right, that we've done all these terrible things to and hear back in return, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so today, as we come forward to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, as we're reminded of how he saved us when we were at our worst, we simply ask him for an increase of faith to believe that, to trust that, to consent to it, and to live out of it. And so I don't know any better prayer but this. Jesus, I do believe. Help my unbelief.